Before we get into the message today, I want to draw your attention back to this. Again, it's located on the back of the pew in front of you. And there are a couple things I also wanted to comment on. First of all, if you would go ahead and scan it for your children, if you have a stylus, if you have an Apple Pencil or something to that effect, you can directly, I think, use that. And we try to put those with age groups, and so there's that. And some of you adults, you know, if I see you doodling today, I'll think you're filling that out. So anyhow, but there's another one on here that will help. All of them will help us. But I would like for everybody, if you have access to light posts, not right now, but sometime look at your light post picture, your light post information. The ones who inserts that, especially this one, is not perfect, okay? And there are probably mistakes and stuff, and maybe your picture needs to be updated. If you will just look on there, if you're a new member, obviously that would help us out. But if you will make sure your information's correct, and if it's not, put it in this link. And then also at the very bottom of that registration, it says additional information. If you need an updated picture or you need a picture, if you will put it in that box as well, that will help us tremendously. Again, thank you to Robin for who's made this very handy, by the way, very handy. Also, we have some special guests here today. Well, I guess they're not guests, but one for the first time, one who he's been here several times, but I haven't had a chance to, the first time he was here, you know, I didn't really know, then I was gone, etc., but Hudson Lee Blankenship is here, and I just went up and saw him. His daddy's bringing him up right now, and we have not brought him up on stage to show everybody how handsome he is, how calm he is, how good he is. I can't believe Gabriel has this baby. I remember when he was a baby. Look at this fella. Huh? Can y'all see him over there? Good-looking guy, right? I'm proud of you guys. Thank you very much. Hudson, welcome, buddy. Glad you're here. Thank you, Gabriel. Got him, buddy. How great is that, right? Then also, we have one who has not been here yet. And this beautiful little girl is going to be brought up by her father as well. And so I'm privileged to welcome for the very first time Yanaya Scott. Yanaya Scott. Oh my goodness. Wow. Look at this baby doll. Huh? Over there? Proud mom and dad? Did I drop something? Oh, I wasn't going to drop the baby. I dropped the champagne toast, by the way, if you would like to know what that is. She is beautiful. Quentin, thank y'all very much. You and Ninyata. She's beautiful. Wow. Thank you so much for bringing those babies to church, right? We're excited about that. Well, I'm also excited that today the tomb is still empty. How great is that, right? And you've noticed today that we have sang some songs that we would sing on Easter Sunday. But I wanted to spend some time today still talking about the resurrection. Now, I'm going to just be as frank as I can be with you. You're not going to learn a lot today if you've been in the church. But it is going to be a powerful reminder of what the resurrection has done for us. You see, the resurrection changed everything. And we ought to be so thankful to God that it did. the resurrection didn't just change what we believe. It didn't just change where we are going. Those things happen, right? Change what we believe, changes where we're going, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ should literally change who we are. I am big on identity. Talked about it some in my class this morning. But our identity is who you are. And at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whatever you have been, whatever you think you are, if you're immersed in water for the remission of your sins, where God, listen to this, how beautiful this is, on that occasion, He contacted you with the life-saving blood of Jesus. He washed away every sin you've ever committed. He gave you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and He added you to the greatest institution that's ever been established, the Church of our Lord. That's what happened at the resurrection, but here's what also happened. It completely changed who we were. Maybe we came into that moment, into that day, thinking, hey, I am such and such. Well, when I came up out of the water, you know what people ought to see? They ought to see Jesus Christ. That's what people in the world today should see. When they walk in our presence or we're in their presence or company anytime, they shouldn't see you, they shouldn't see me, they shouldn't see my hobbies, they shouldn't see my job, they shouldn't see my family, they shouldn't see this. They should see Jesus Christ. But we live in a world obsessed with going back. Going back to who we used to be. Going back to some old habits. Going back to an old way of thinking, an old mindset. And even going back to old sins. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ declares something very boldly. We shouldn't go back to that person because that person should be dead. You see, that's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ did for us. It put to death who we used to be. That watery grave that it's talked about and we're going to study about today, that watery grave, it put to death our old man, our old woman, our old self. And so why do we want to go back to our old self when that person ought to be dead? You see, too many Christians are trying to live in a grave God already emptied. You see, we weren't raised to revisit our past. We were raised to walk in newness of life. That's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it has done for us. And if you haven't obeyed the gospel, that's what it will do for you. And so what I want us to study today, and we're going to be in Romans 6. Romans 6 is one of those kinds of chapters that you just got to know. As a Christian, you have got to know Romans 6. Again, Paul wrote a letter, right? He didn't write chapters. He didn't write a book that had chapters in it. He wrote a letter. And in the middle of that letter is one of the most important chapters that we would call chapters in all the Bible. And so today from Romans 6, I want us to learn some things or be reminded of some things. Here they are. Number one, at the resurrection, the old was crucified. Look at Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we should no longer be enslaved in sin. The resurrection only can make sense to us if we understand in order to be resurrected, something had to die. I think sometimes people look at salvation as, well, it's just self-improvement. Salvation is not self-improvement. Salvation is death. When we are baptized with Christ, and we're raised with Christ, we didn't just fix the old man. We didn't just train the old self. And we shouldn't just be managing the old self. We crucified the old self. You see, that's what it did at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't have resurrection without death, right? Jesus had to die on the cross. Remember, He became that sacrificial lamb. He was the one that was the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. And because He was that sacrifice, He took every other sacrifice's place. And once He was dead on the cross, He was buried, He resurrected. But in order to be a resurrection, there had to be a death. In order for us to walk resurrected today, the old self got to be crucified. You see, that's our old identity. That's all of our old desires. That's our old way of thinking. That old life that sometimes we just want to creep back to. We have to remember it's dead. God didn't renovate us. He replaced us. You see, the problem is, as I said earlier, some Christians like revisiting the dead person, the dead self. Because we keep going back to old sins, old relationships, old attitudes, old guilt. It's like going to a cemetery and standing at a grave and saying, maybe I can just bring this person back to life. You see, that's not reality, right? Because that person's dead. But in our spiritual walks, we're thinking, hey, maybe if I revisit it a little bit, I can bring this old life back to life. But you know what God says about that? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? You see, one cannot go back to that old life without denying the cross. To go back to our old self, to our old life, to the one before we were crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live. In order to do that, we've got to say, hey, you know what? The cross wasn't enough for me. The blood didn't wash me completely clean. The resurrection didn't change me. When I go back to that old self, that's what I'm really saying. It wasn't good enough. Your blood wasn't special enough. It didn't cleanse me enough. The resurrection wasn't that big a deal. Folks, I'm telling you, it was a huge deal. It's the greatest event that has ever occurred in all of existence. You see, when I have that mindset, it's not weakness when I go back, it's unbelief. And so I must remember that the old was crucified. At the resurrection of Jesus Christ, at the resurrection of me out of that watery grave, the old me was put to death. But secondly, I need to remember, it's where new life began. Look at Romans 6:4. We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The resurrection of Jesus is not just something He experienced. It's something we now also live. Because of His death, because of His burial, because of His resurrection, we too can now be resurrected. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we're not who we were. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Did you hear that? He didn't just say it's the improved you. He didn't just say it's the adjusted you. He said it is the new you. So when, make that make sense to you in your mind. You know, it's not like, hey, you know, somebody went and got a haircut and or did something different, maybe lost some weight, and they say, hey, you look like a new you. No, that's not what this is. It's not an improved. It's not an adjusted. It's brand new. It's not who you were. That's why it's very frustrating, sad, I don't know what the right word is, to hear a Christian who's been a Christian a while say, I sure hope I go to heaven. You see, you don't understand, if that's your attitude, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The old self, the old past that Satan keeps saying, hey, you remember what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 minutes ago? You remember all those things? That's why you're not good enough. You're not good enough. That's not who you are anymore. You're brand new. That's when new life began. A new heart, a new direction, a new identity. And you know what that new life requires? A new walk. Did you hear what he said? Walk in newness of life. He didn't say you were born in newness of life. You were raised to walk in newness of life. That means today we got to have new habits. We got to have new priorities. We got to have new responses. Who is your core you? We talked about this in my class, and Ashley, who brought it up, did it 100 million times better than I could do it, so I'm not going to attempt that. But ultimately, you need to find out, maybe you got to write it down and put it in somewhere in your home. Get your whole family and say, hey, family, this is who we are. You know what should be at the middle of it? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Maybe you got a very talented child, and there's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they're great at the arts. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they're great at sports. There's nothing wrong with that. Maybe they're great at whatever you are. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you something. It is something wrong with it if it changes what the core is. At the core, we're Jesus Christ, right? Again, new identity. Who are you? When people see you, they shouldn't see you. They should see Jesus. When people see me, they shouldn't see me. They should see Jesus. And so at the core of it, who are you? Are the things surrounding your core changing what's in the middle? Walk in newness of life. That might mean you might need some new habits, some new priorities, some new responses. It means we shouldn't think like we used to think. It means we don't respond like we used to respond. You know, dead men don't walk. Think about that. Dead men, dead women, they don't walk. They're dead. But resurrected ones do. And at the resurrection, it allowed us to walk in newness of life. Yes, there was a death, but there was a birth. And that birth allows us to walk in newness of life. You see, that means we should stop identifying with things of our past. The enemy wants you to say, well, that's just who I am. But man, one of my biggest pet peeves in this life, now I would always be respectful with you, but if you are of the older generation, more mature generation, and there's something you need to change, but instead you'd be like, hey, this is the way I am, it's the way I'm going to be. That is a foolish way to think. I love you enough to tell you that. We're never too old to change. Better not be. As long as there's breath in our body. Satan wants you to believe that. Satan wants you to believe, oh, you're just stuck in your old ways. No, you're not. If you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were born again. You're not who you used to be. Or Satan wants you to say, I've always struggled with this. I guess I won't ever get over it. That's an old way of thinking. It's not new life. The resurrection says, that's who you were. That's not who you are. Thirdly, at the resurrection, we became free. Look at verse 11 of Romans 6. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Notice the word consider there. It literally means to take an inventory or conclude. In other words, we must conclude that at the resurrection, that's the resurrection of Jesus, which made the resurrection of our soul be possible, at the resurrection of us coming up out of that water, we must conclude that that's dead and now I'm free. It means we must choose to believe our new identity. God did all the work. We just must align our thinking with His truth. Freedom is not just given, right? Think about it. You've heard the saying, right? What is it? The free gift of God. The free gift of God. But as long as you don't accept it from God, it's still possessed by God. We've got to accept and embrace the gift. I mean, how many of you, if you buy that child their favorite toy and you say, hey, I bought this toy, and they can see that toy, they're going to come and get it. And they're going to understand you bought it for them, and they're going to take it, but they're going to embrace it. They're going to love it. They're going to play with it. They're going to spend time with it. How many of us have left the gift with God? Or giving it back to Him. You see, freedom must be embraced. That free gift must be embraced. In other words, we got to stop living like a slave when we've been set free. A man's released from prison, he doesn't stay there. The doors are open, the chains are off, he leaves. If he goes back into his cell and sleeps in the cell, it's because his mind never left. Some are free in Christ, but we're still living in a prison. We're still living in a prison of shame. We're still living in a prison of sin. How about this one? We're still living in a prison of fear. We're still living in the prison of our past identity. But you know what happened at the resurrection? Sin no longer has dominion over us. Romans 6:14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean temptation is gone. Temptation's going to be there, right? But it does mean the authority has changed. You see, there's a prince. He's described as the prince of this world. And that is the evil one, right? That is Satan. That's the devil. Whatever we want to call him, that's what he is. Okay? That evil being, the prince of this world. And if he is not constantly tempting you and attacking you, it probably means he already has you. I tell people oftentimes, hey, when you're baptized, and fortunately we've had a lot of folks be baptized this year. Taylor tells them, Justin tells them, we all tell them, right? Hey, those chains are gone, but now Satan's going to be mad. He's going to be mad because he had you, now he doesn't. And that's how life is. Sin may still call your name, but it no longer should have your allegiance. And finally, this morning, talking about the greatness of the resurrection of our Savior. At the resurrection, our future became forever. Romans 6, verse 8, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him." But the question I have to ask is, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? Well, Terry, I'm at church today. That's not what I'm asking. There are a lot of people going to be at churches, different places, and really not believe that they're going to live with Jesus. You see, we either believe it or we don't, right? If we have died with Christ, we must believe that we're also going to live with Him. Remember in John 14 what He said? He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, guess what? We'll come back and take you home." Do you believe it? Do we believe it? Is He preparing a place with my name on it? With your name on it? Is He going to come back and take me home? He said it, so I believe it. But my question is, are you living like you believe it? You see, because now we're living towards something far greater than what we were living for. We shouldn't go back, we need to go forward. Forward in holiness, forward in purpose, forward in hope. Because the best version of you is ahead, not behind. Like a ball team getting together 20 years later from a victory, a championship, and saying, "Man, those were the good old days. Those were the glory days." But the good news is, as a church, we come together every Lord's Day to say, "Hey, glory is still ahead." I hope this one will resonate with our children. I don't know what, and I really hope it resonates with all of us. But what is your best day on earth? If we were to ask our children, what's their best day on earth? If I was to ask you, what's your best day on earth? I don't know what it would be. But I want you to think about it right now. What has been your best day? Maybe it's when you got married. Maybe it's when your child was born. Maybe it's when your other child, when your family became complete. You know, as a child, maybe it's when you got what you have been hoping for your whole life. I don't know what it is, but think about whatever your best day is, it will be far your worst in eternity of heaven. That's how great heaven's going to be. The glory is still coming. Heaven confirms what the resurrection started. The same power that raised Jesus is the same power that will raise us. That means who we are, our core identity, is not tied any longer to failures, to our past, or to our mistakes. It's now tied to Jesus Christ. So, why are some trying to go back? Why are we trying to go back to what Jesus died to bring us out of? Back to sin. Back to that old mindset. Back to that old identity. I want to encourage you today, don't go back. Don't go back. Because that person is dead. There's some possibly here today who are standing between two identities. The one who you used to be and the one who Christ died for you to become. But the struggle's real, right? Because as much as I want to be what Christ die to make me become, I keep going back to that grave, to those chains, to that cell, and I keep sleeping there every single night. But today I want to remind you the empty tomb is still empty. And it's still calling your name. If you've never died with Christ in baptism, in just a moment, Joseph's going to lead us in a song. And today can be your moment. Here's what Paul wrote about it in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried together with Him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. I want to tell you a story. A story that my good friend Jason White told in my presence the other day. And to my credit, I told him I was going to steal it. It's the story of Theodore Roosevelt Jr. The day was June 6, 1944. Also known as D-Day. You see, Roosevelt at that time, Theodore Roosevelt Jr., was 56 years old. He had suffered from arthritis, heart problems, and he was walking with a cane because of a previous injury. By every standard, he should not have been let near the front lines that day at Normandy. But he refused. He personally requested to land with the first wave of troops on Utah Beach. He said he wanted to lead his men from the front. He became the only general to land with the first wave of troops that day. But here's where it went wrong. When the landing craft that he was on board with hit the beach in the early morning, it was darkness and, of course, chaos. And instantly they knew something was wrong. You see, the currents and confusion had carried the troops on that vessel about a mile off course. For most commanders, that mistake could have meant disaster. Units could have scattered, objectives could have been missed, confusion could have been everywhere, right? But not with General Roosevelt. He did something extraordinary. Again, realize they were a mile off course, chaos, darkness. What are we going to do? He stood there, enemy raining down fire. And he leaned on his cane. And he looked at those who were under his command after he assessed the situation and he said this, "Men, we'll start the war from right here. I don't know where you are. But we're at war. It's a spiritual war. And I don't know exactly what course your life has taken you on, but let's suppose you found yourself way off course. You know what Jesus Christ would say to you today? We'll begin the war right here where you are. Today, don't let the resurrection be in vain. If you have a need, let's stand. Come as we stand and sing."